When I was 30 years old, I had saved enough money to buy my first house. It wasn't anything special, and honestly, all things considered, it wasn't in the best neighborhood either. But I was still proud of the accomplishment nonetheless. I'd met all the nearby neighbors in, I'd say, the first 2 weeks I moved in. Considering the neighborhood, I was surprised to discover they all actually seemed pretty nice. A couple of them even invited me over for dinner a few times. And having lived in different apartments all my life, this wasn't really something I was used to. Of course, they weren't all like this, however. Two houses down from the house I moved into lived a man that was probably 50 years old. Upon moving in, every other night or so, the dude would knock at my front door at some absurd hour asking for stuff. So, like, as an example, the first time it happened, he asked me if I had any spare bread I wasn't gonna eat. Another time, he asked me if I could fill up a bucket with water, because his was turned off. It was just random, but somewhat understandable things like that. But I drew the line when he started asking me for money. I figured I had no obligation to be constantly meeting this guy's needs. I mean, I had pretty much just met the dude. I had started opening the door to his knocks less and less, but this didn't seem to have any effect on the number of times he would show up. Fast forward to a night a few weeks later, and again another knock. I had planned to ignore it, like I had grown accustomed to doing by that point. But as I looked through the people, I noticed the guy looked distressed. Seeing this, I decided the right thing to do would be to open up the door. So, I did. I asked him what he needed, and what he responded with was not at all the type of response I was expecting. He asked me if I could come over and show him how to use his new grill. Now, this happened around midnight, which in my opinion was an extremely odd time to start grilling. But against my better judgment, I decided I would help him. I was pretty into cooking at that point in my life, and figured taking 10 minutes to show the guy how a grill worked wouldn't be the end of the world. I told him that I'd be over in a second, and that I just needed to put some shoes on. He thanked me and started walking back. A couple minutes later, and I made my way over to his house. I opened some gate and walked into his backyard. It was dark, so it was hard to see, but it was clear there was no grill. On top of that, the guy was nowhere in sight. Although his back door was wide open, I stuck my hand inside and yelled out for the guy.
"Yeah, I'm down here. I need your help getting some meat from the freezer."
The muffled response came from down a set of stairs just to the left of me. I was hesitant to go down. There were no lights on down there. In fact, there wasn't a single light on throughout the whole house. I yelled down the stairs, asking him if he could turn on a light so I could see. There was silence for a few seconds. Eventually, he responded.
"No, they're broken. I can't do that."
I knew something was off at that point. I yelled back something like,
"I think I'm just gonna go, man."
I kid you not, the second after I said this, audible footsteps started sprinting up the stairs. My flight reaction kicked in immediately. I ran directly back to my house and locked the door behind me. I pulled back a set of curtains and looked out one of my windows, but I didn't see anything. I was terrified. I thought about calling the police, but decided against it, figuring I really wouldn't be able to prove anything that just happened. For the next few days, I didn't leave my house for anything except work. During those days, I never saw the guy, nor did any late-night knocks occur. Exactly 1 week after it happened, I was talking with my neighbor across the street. The conversation eventually landed on what I experienced, and how I was planning to move because of it. But I was just met with a look of confusion. I was then informed that no one lived in the house I was talking about. It had been abandoned for 2 years. This prompted my neighbor to call the police. However, the police would find nothing inside or around the house. I moved out a few weeks later, so that's all I know. I'm not sure if anything else came from the situation or not. I still don't know who that guy was, or what he was trying to lure me into. This happened during the summer before my sophomore year in college. At that time, I was doing a lot of research for a place I could live during the coming school year that was close to campus. I found multiple good-looking apartments, but all of them were way out of my budget. I quickly figured out that if I wanted to live close to campus, I would need a roommate that could help pay each month's rent. I posted an ad on Craigslist explaining my situation, hoping someone would be interested. Not even an hour after I posted the ad, I got a response. Apparently, it was some older lady in her 70s. I was kinda expecting it to be another student from my university, but I figured it didn't really matter. As long as they were willing to pay half of the rent, I didn't really care. Plus, I didn't get any further responses in the next week, so I took the one opportunity I was given. Fast forward to the start of the school semester, and the two of us moved in. She introduced herself as Dorothy. She was short and had white hair. Although a little quiet, she seemed nice. I figured we'd get along fine, so I wasn't too worried about the coming months. A few weeks passed, and I never really saw her that much. We had the occasional small talk conversation when we were both in the kitchen, but that was about it. For the most part, she would spend all of her time in her bedroom. Occasionally, while I was watching TV in the living room at night, I would hear this high-pitched giggling coming through the walls. The first few times it happened, I just assumed she was on her phone or something. But then I realized I never actually heard her talking. It was just her giggling. I couldn't imagine what she was doing. Over time, things just kept getting weirder. For example, she would start coming out of her room for no other purpose than to watch me. She would stand in the kitchen or hallway just looking at me while I watched TV or made myself dinner. Needless to say, I was getting more and more uncomfortable around her. One night, I woke up at around 3 a.m. to the sound of slight knocking on my bedroom door. Not knocking like trying to get my attention, but slow, soft, and barely audible knocking. I yelled out Dorothy's name, and right as I did, the knocking stopped. I knew it was her, because shortly after, I heard her same giggling, followed by footsteps walking back to her room. I'd be lying if I said this didn't freak me out. I didn't have a lock on my door, so nothing was stopping her from coming into my room while I was sleeping. I didn't sleep at all the rest of that night. I had planned on confronting her about the situation the next day, but she never left her room once. Come night again, and I decided to move my desk in front of my door as a makeshift barricade. Again, I didn't have a lock on my door, and I did not feel comfortable having nothing stopping her from entering my room. 3 hours later, and I woke up to the sound of my desk being hit by my door from someone attempting to open it. It was Dorothy. I could see her eye peeking through the crack of the slightly open door. Before I could even say anything, she started screaming and banging on my door. My desk started to give way, so I got out of bed and held the door closed myself. The screaming and banging went on for 2 more minutes. Once it finally stopped, I got up and called the police. When they arrived, I opened the door to my bedroom, and my heart dropped. Every single one of the knives from our kitchen had been stabbed into the door. I was absolutely horrified, but I tried to compose myself. I briefly explained the situation to the two officers that arrived. I also told them which room Dorothy was in. She would provide a struggle in being detained, but they would ultimately take her away. The next month, I would move to another apartment, this time with some actual students from my university. I still don't understand what made Dorothy do what she did. My best guess is she had some severe untreated condition she wasn't on medication for. But then again, maybe not. Maybe she seriously intended to use those knives on me in my sleep. But because I took the precaution of pushing my desk in front of my door, I luckily didn't have to find out. This experience happened to me when I was only 10 years old. Being that it was so long ago, I don't remember every small detail, but I'll do my best to keep everything as accurate as possible. Back then, I lived in a considerably remote area in the US. Neighboring houses were a good half mile apart. Therefore, while my family had met a couple of our neighbors, many of them were complete strangers. This included the resident of the house to the left of ours. I don't remember his name, but it was an elderly man that lived there. He was creepy to say the least. All of the windows on his house were spray painted so that no one could see inside, and his whole yard was completely overgrown. I know all this because every Monday through Friday I had to walk past his house to get home from school. Every time I did this, the man would either be standing on his porch watching me or trying to make conversation with me as I walked by. It got to the point where I dreaded walking home from school just because I'd have to walk past him. But this wasn't even the worst of it. Maybe once or twice a month, the guy would make the half-mile walk to our house in the middle of the night. He would then shine a flashlight into the window of my room. I knew it was the same guy, too, because one of the times I witnessed him walking down the road towards our house. Looking back, this was 100% extremely alarming behavior. But at the time, I thought the best way of handling it was just to ignore it. Therefore, I didn't tell my parents about it. I also remember reasoning that my bedroom was on the second floor, so it's not like he was able to see much of inside my room anyway. Skip to a summer night in that same year, and I was once again woken up by the light of a flashlight shining in my room. Though, this time it was followed by a subtle thud sound against the wall. It felt like my heart had stopped. The only thing running through my mind in that moment was how it sounded exactly like a ladder being propped up against the side of the house. Not long later, my suspicions would be confirmed. A knocking sound rang out from the glass of the window. I looked over and was met with the smiling face of the man gesturing me to open the window. But no, I screamed and ran to my parents' bedroom. I desperately explained to them how the neighbor was outside my window. They went in my room, but of course he was gone by that point. The worst part is, they didn't even believe me, chalking it up to me seeing things. Therefore, the police were never called. But even now as an adult, I know exactly what I saw. I try not to think about the intentions that guy had towards my 10-year-old self. I never saw him again after that. In fact, not even a week after the occurrence, and his house had a for sale sign up next to it, which to me serves as further proof that it was him. I've lived in many different places since then, and not one neighbor comes even slightly close to how creepy that man was.
My family and I have been living in a homeless shelter since the very first day that my city was officially on lockdown. The complex used to be an old motel, and in each room there's about 4 people. Thankfully, since mine is the only family here, we get to have a room to ourselves. That being said, we've been through a number of neighbors on either side of our room, and as you can expect, not all of them were good. You have your typical druggies and mentally unstable people, but surprisingly, the worst was a man that we had actually become friends with. Let's call him David. David had been one of our first set of neighbors on the left side. He was a bald man in his late 20s to early 30s of average height and build. He wore glasses, a bright red beard, and he had a friendly disposition. My parents had started talking to him whenever they went outside for a smoke. My mother could talk to anyone, and she would always make friends. But my dad, well, he's a bit more reserved and introverted, a lot like me. So the fact that he had also started talking to David made me immediately trust him. A horrible decision. My mother eventually insisted that I come meet him. He was exactly the kind of person that I usually get along with. He was mildly crude, sarcastic, and always down to talk about really deep and dark things. I befriended him rather quickly, and we discussed everything from stupid conspiracy theories to even childhood trauma. Both me and my 16-year-old brother were actually really quite fond of him, but this obviously didn't last. It started out small. He would talk about sex, his previous wife's affairs, and things of that nature. At first, I was really happy that he was talking to me like an adult. I had just turned 18 years old in February, and I was still a little shocked about how differently people were treating me. Things had started to escalate fairly soon after that. He started hitting on me and talking about a hypothetical relationship between us. I'm pretty used to this kind of behavior, as I've been creeped on long before anywhere near the age of consent. But it still felt wrong that a man that was a bare minimum of 10 years older than me was being so forward to my barely legal self. However, I'm extremely unsocial, and I recently lost the remainder of all my friends. So I was just really desperate for human contact outside of my family. So I would just politely decline him and just laugh it off. One day when my parents and I were all outside, David came outside as well. He made really friendly conversations with us, and eventually the topic drifted into the staff that work here. For some context, there's always staff and at least one security guard that's working at all times. They do room checks, symptom checks, deliver meals, do laundry, and so on. Most of them are pretty chill, but there are a few of them who really abuse their power and make the residents' lives miserable. Also, the owners are super shady and do a lot of things that aren't exactly okay. So when David had then said that the security guard was going around the back of the building and looking in bathroom windows to make sure no one was smoking or doing drugs in there, well, my parents believed him. They really just hate the way the place is run, and they're always mad about something. So they were pretty quick to board the How Dare They train. I, on the other hand, just took the information with a grain of salt. I wasn't so eager to believe in rumors that really have no ground to stand on. For all I knew, it could have been started by a junkie that was tripping and just thinking what he was seeing was real. A few nights later, when I was using the bathroom, I had heard the crunching of footsteps right outside. Now, the complex is surrounded by orchards, so it's not really uncommon to hear walking among the trees, but something in the pit of my stomach told me something was off. I snapped my head up just in time to then see a pale figure jerk away from the bug screen right on the open window. I quickly finish up, all the while the window never leaving my line of sight. The moment my pants are up, I decide to bolt and then run to tell my parents. They're pretty much both beyond pissed. They pretty much immediately assume that it was security. That is, until they open our door only moments after the occurrence, to then see that the only security that was working on that night was still up at the front gate. Not only that, but the man wasn't white. So whoever's face I saw, it wasn't him. This immediately confused them. On the next morning, my parents are asking everyone if they saw or heard anyone outside their bathroom windows last night. There was a resounding no from everyone, but what really struck me as odd the most was that no one had even heard of the rumor about security. It seems like everyone here is extremely paranoid, so the fact that such a serious accusation was apparently not even being discussed was more than a bit strange to me. My parents just assumed that David had just been messing with us, or that someone had been messing with him. I wanted to believe that too. After that, I was so freaked out that I started closing the window every time I went in there. Right around this time, the weather started getting really warm, which meant that clothes started getting more revealing so that we wouldn't fry in the late spring sun. I guess this was a little too much for David to handle, as he started being even more forward than he was before, even around my parents. This didn't sit well with them. It eventually got so bad that they requested he be moved to a different room. He wasn't. I started staying inside at all times when I could, and just avoiding David when I couldn't. He must have noticed this, as he became increasingly aggressive every time he approached me. He would always holler at me from across the complex, and also watch me intently whenever I walked my dog. I had started noticing a very David-shaped silhouette right outside our window in the dead of night whenever my family was asleep, peeking into the tiny gaps in the thin curtains. I would really like to say that I told my parents, but I didn't. I was really afraid that they would make a big stink about it and that we'd get kicked out and then have nowhere to go in the middle of a pandemic, so I just kept quiet. David was eventually moved, but not before he scared me one last time. I was once again in the bathroom. I had just gotten out of the shower, and I was brushing my teeth with my towel wrapped around my body. I had music playing and was dancing around, just generally having a good time. It was such a good time that I apparently forgot that I didn't close the window. I had left it open during my shower to reduce the amount of steam, and I meant to close it when I got out. Thankfully, the shower was on the same wall as the window, making it physically impossible to see into it. The sink that I was standing at, however, well, that was in full view of the window. This realization then hit me like a ton of bricks, when I then suddenly became hyper aware of the feeling of being watched. I tried to act natural, really hoping it was just my paranoia. I finished brushing my teeth, then opened up the medicine cabinet to put away my toothbrush. As I was closing it, I made sure to stop at an angle where I could see the reflection of the window in the mirror. Lo and behold, there he was. David was stood there with his face pressed against the bug screen. I was frozen in fear. The worst part was when he realized he had been caught, he didn't even move away immediately. He didn't even have the decency to look shocked or ashamed. No, he looked so smug, so self-satisfied. And then he moved with his footsteps crunched off into the distance. I never saw him again after that, and I never told my parents about it or about him watching me while I slept. It still really freaks me out to think about it, especially since he has two daughters of his own. I only hope that they're never put into his custody. Even if he doesn't do anything to them, I really can't imagine what growing up with a father that acts like this would do to a girl. Somehow I really don't think that he'd set a very good standard for them. Hopefully you all agree with me. Just for some context, I'm about 5'6" and about 220 pounds, and I'm 15 years old. I'm also in high school, and I don't really like talking to people, as I have the worst anxiety. I would say I'm fairly good looking, but nothing to gush about, and a little bit on the bigger side. The story happened in November of 2019. It was a normal day, and I actually had a really great day. I knew that if I enjoyed myself in school, though, that something bad was probably going to be happening at home. I never enjoy myself in school. Everything was pretty good up until my walk home. When school was over, I got on the bus as normal. The ride seemed faster than normal that day. Something was telling me that I needed to call my mom to pick me up from the bus stop, but I couldn't. The previous day, I had gotten my phone taken away for personal reasons. Anyways, I got to my stop and got off. I walked and I'm about halfway home when I suddenly feel that feeling when you just know someone is watching you. I can't really explain it, but I felt it. I'm now in my neighborhood and there's barely any cars anywhere riding past. The street that I live on is like a horseshoe. It's kind of like a hill. Most of the people on my street are older and barely ever leave their houses. As I was walking down the street, a young man walks out of a house. He looked about 17 years old, 6'3", and had a muscly build. His body didn't really match his age, but I didn't really pay any attention, thinking that maybe he played sports because our town is pretty big on sports and training. Usually I would pull out my phone and act like I didn't see or hear someone trying to talk to me, but today I couldn't do that. He smiled and waved at me, and I did the same because I didn't want to be rude. Suddenly he walked all the way down his driveway and then struck up a conversation with me. At first, it was just typical small talk as usual. Then he began to move closer, and before I knew it, he had his hand right on the small of my back, then guiding me right up the driveway. I asked him what he was doing, and he continued to walk me up the driveway. I tried to struggle, but he wrapped his arm around my waist so tightly and just continued. I started to yell at him to let me go, but then he put his hand right over my mouth and I was silenced. I honestly thought that I would never see my family again, never experience prom, homecoming, get a job, get married, you know, all of the things you're supposed to do in life. I didn't want to be near him one more second, so I had to think. What could I do to at least stun him? I decided to bite his hand. He then let go and started to scream in pain. After he let go, I ran down the street and then pulled my key and stumbled to get my key into the door. When I turned to look back, I saw him running down the street, absolutely enraged. He didn't yell or say anything, just ran. I eventually unlocked the door and stumbled into the house and then locked it. I ran to my room and then closed the door. Almost immediately, my mother yells up to me and asks me what's wrong. I say nothing, and I just sit there, too in shock to cry or to do anything. Yesterday, I went for a walk, and I had finally decided that I was ready to go back outside, and right as I made my way up to the hill to the top of the street, a wave of dread then washed over me. I wanted to turn back, but I decided to take the horseshoe back around to my house. I made it past the house, and before I knew it, I was right on the other side of the horseshoe. The feeling was still there. Since we're in quarantine, I was really surprised to see a figure walking behind me. He had a really large dog with him, and he had then walked with long strides. He then caught up to me rather quickly. As soon as I saw his face, I stopped. I couldn't move. He then started to smile with such a creepy smile. Even now, I can't get it out of my head. Every time I close my eyes, he's there. He had started to wander down the street until he slowly walked up to me.
Hey, remember me?
I couldn't respond.
You know, it was really rude the way you ran away from me the last time we spoke.
He moved a little closer until his lips were right on my ear.
I'm gonna make sure you don't run this time.
I snapped out of my trance when I once again felt his hand on my waist. This time, however, he wasn't even trying to be gentle. He was practically ripping my shirt. Just then at that moment, I had saw a car turn down my street and I started waving my hands like a crazy person. By the time they slowed down to see what was wrong, he was gone. He must have ran through the people's yards or something.
Hey, are you good? Everything okay here?
It was my neighbor's eldest son. I was so grateful for him being there. I then totally broke down. He ended up driving me down the street to my home, and despite having him right next to me while I told my parents, they didn't believe me. It's so frustrating that the ones that are supposed to be there for you think that you're lying about something so serious. Since they don't believe me, I decided to write it here. I haven't ran into the guy since, and I'm really glad. I hope sharing my story will help someone. Just be careful out there.
I used to live with the biggest idiot on the face of the earth. Hector was this 6-foot Afro-Latino dude from New Jersey who had two distinct modes of being. Either he was a tornado of anger, or he was manically laughing at something. Rarely was there any in between. When you caught him in his laughing mood, he was tolerable at best, but catch him in one of his angry moods and he was totally unbearable. He was a roadie for some post-hardcore band that toured up and down the East Coast a bunch, which was one of the few good things about being his roommate. The fact that he spent weeks away at a time from the apartment, but still paid rent. But whenever he was home, well, here's an example. It's July in East Harlem. I have the windows open. Latin brass band music is flowing through the afternoon air from some other open window, and I'm sipping Southern Peach lemonade like life is good. Out of nowhere, Hector bursts into the apartment, covered in brick dust, like,
"I need bricks, bro. You got bricks?"
I just started driving Uber while trying to get my stand-up career up and running, so no, I didn't have any bricks. And even if I did, I wouldn't have been sharing them with Hector. And suddenly he's like,
"There's bricks on the roof."
And as he runs out of the apartment and towards the stairwell of the building, I hear these kids shouting from outside the window. Then I look out to see this group of kids, like 11-year-old kids, all shouting stuff in Spanish at our building. They see me, start flipping me off and whatnot before they suddenly scatter in all directions. Then bam, a brick lands right in the spot where they were before they scattered. See, that's the type of guy Hector was. He could go out for a pack of rips and find himself in a brick fight with a bunch of Puerto Rican kids on the way back. Never in my life have I ever had a fight with a preteen, let alone one involving projectiles. But around Hector, that stuff was like a daily occurrence. So come that October, Hector is headed out on some big Halloween tour with one of his bands, and he tells me he won't be back till the second week of November. That meant I'd have to cover half of the rent until then, something I'd have to borrow money to do. This causes a big fight, and for the first time since I moved in, I thought Hector might actually hit me. And being the kind of guy that he was, I knew for a fact that if it came to violence, he wouldn't just stop at one punch. So when the time came for him to go on tour, the mood in the apartment isn't just at its low point. I'm legit scared for my physical safety. He leaves, I'm looking for a new apartment, and life is not so good anymore. So a few nights later, the night before Halloween actually, I'm sitting in the little kitchen area, eating arepas and looking for other apartments. Someone buzzes the apartment, so I go to see who it is. This is back when we had intercoms, but they sucked and barely worked half the time, so when I hear some guy with an accent says something like, "I need an apartment number 3, but the buzzer's not working." I just buzz the guy in without a second thought. New York is a city built on takeout, delivery, and street food, so I'm hardly going to be all suspicious over a delivery driver. But I should have been, and I almost paid with my life for it. Those guys busted our front door open like it was nothing. Just smashed the lock right through with a sledgehammer. I actually thought it was the cops at first because they just piled in, guns drawn, shouting, "Get on the floor, get down." But then the way that they were talking to each other once I was lying face down on the linoleum, that clued me into the fact that they were just stick-up guys. But what were they doing in my apartment? My first thought was, "Jesus Christ, Hector, whose toes do you step on now?" But before I can wonder anymore, one of the guys starts asking me, "Where is it? Where is it?" I'm like, "Where's what?" But that just makes them mad. I get this flurry of kicks that have me balled up in the fetal position, then they ask me again. I can't tell them anything else, so I just say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's $20 in my wallet, that's all I got on me." The offer of 20 bucks just offended them, and I get more kicks before they start tossing the apartment like they're looking for something. And when I say tossing, I really do mean trashing. They're deliberately breaking stuff, pulling drawers all the way out, and then throwing them at other stuff. It was just destruction, in every sense of the word, and it was around then that I got a look at a couple of the guys. They're all masked up, or have stuff over their faces. They're wearing all black, gloves, and the works. They were professional stick-up guys, probably robbed drug dealers for a living, but Hector wasn't dealing. I mean, I think I'd have noticed at some point. I saw a lot of broken guitars and amplifiers around the apartment, but not too many piles of coke or money. Then right as I'm about to think it, one of the guys comes out with it. "You sure this is the right place, man?" I don't know. Homie told me he keeps it behind the bathtub sometimes, but these people only got a shower in there." I feel this wave of relief washing over me. They got the wrong place, so they're gonna just walk out, right? Maybe take my phone so I can't call the cops. So, like I said, I told them my phone was on the table, next to my food, and that I wouldn't call the cops if they just left. Cuck move, maybe, but it's amazing how zen you get about material possessions when you see a Glock in someone's hand. The stick-up guys kind of pause and look at each other. Then right as I think they're about to just leave, one of them says, "I think you see my face, man, when we were breaking in. He's gotta go." One of them has the gun, and the guy who wants me dead starts reaching to take it off the guy who has it, but the guy who has it doesn't want to give it up. That was my cue, to soil myself and start begging for my life. It wasn't my proudest moment, and peeing my pants was by no means metaphorical, but it is what it is, looking back. They're arguing over shooting me. I'm begging for my life. It's just chaos and them shouting in there, and I'm amazed no one had called the cops already. But then boom. The front entrance of the apartment building slams shut, and I can hear a very familiar voice coming up the stairs. I'm not even going to type out what Hector was saying. I'd be canceled and deleted from the internet within seconds after posting, but let's just say someone had canceled their tour 3 days in, and he was livid about it, going on calling them every name under the sun, ranting and raving as he pounded his way up the stairs, and in the apartment, both me and the stick-up guys are about frozen in anticipation. Then right as Hector is about to come into the apartment, he says something like, "Hey, I got your money, you whiny little baby. What the—" The guy with the gun aims it at Hector as he walks in, looking around at the pure destruction that greeted him. "Who are you people?" he screamed.
"Who are you?"
the guy with the gun screamed back. Hector is just gone by this point, foaming at the mouth, looking like he's got one of his eyeballs about to pop when he comes back.
"I live here."
Then, I swear to God, I watch as Hector basically turns into a drunk, slightly overweight Jason Bourne. He swings his backpack off his shoulder and just launches it at the shooter. He knocks the guy slightly off balance, messes up his aim, but by the time he can like rearrange himself, Hector like football tackles this guy onto the carpet and just starts wailing on him. The two other guys then jump in and I'm thinking, "Oh Jesus God, someone's about to get shot." When out of nowhere, Hector comes up and is just windmailing punches at both guys, holding his own until he goes down again. Then almost immediately, both guys start backing up, hands in the air, and there's Hector, holding the gun he'd almost just been shot with, telling both the guys to back up. His face is bleeding. He's totally gassed, but There he is, having just won a freaking fistfight with three guys, one of them armed. He then sits on the KO'd shooter's back, tells the other guys to get out of his apartment, and tells me to dial 911. And only when the cops show up to arrest the guy he'd managed to detain did he realize he'd been stabbed in the shoulder. That night, as he got stitched up at the hospital, I sifted through all the broken and non-broken stuff, swept up all the broken glass and ceramics, and generally tried to put the apartment back in order. He got back at around 1 a.m., still drunk after the doctor told him, "Do not drink on these painkillers," and immediately started complaining about the break-in. I just carried on cleaning up, stopping only briefly to say something deeply heartfelt. "Hector, dude, I just wanted to say I think you might have saved my life today, dude. And I just wanted to say thank you." I felt my throat kind of tighten as I said it, very similar to the way it's doing now as I'm typing this, remembering. Hector looked up at me, with this look in his eyes that almost made it look like I'd gotten through to him, until he replied with,
"Whatever, you could have jumped in at any time."
I didn't mind. I knew Hector well enough by that point to know he wasn't exactly in touch with his feelings. But as he immediately sought to leave the room due to the uncomfortable amount of emotion in the air, he turned and said,
"Did you see the look on those guys' faces, though? It's hilarious, dude."
And he just walked off to his bedroom, laughing that evil toddler laugh that makes my skin crawl, even today. You see, for just over a year, I shared an apartment with the biggest idiot on the face of the earth. And I owe that idiot my life. Please, New York, don't ever change.